Greetings in the name of Jesus this morning. It's always good to be in the house of God. And actually, when I say the house of God, I always think, what really is the house of God? It is our hearts. Because in the past, God dwelt in, and in a sense, God dwelt in the temple. But it also says he does not dwell in temples made with hands, but he dwells in the temple. Our bodies are the temples of the Holy Ghost. So I was very much inspired this morning already with what Brother Richard had to share with the creation and the diversity of what God has made. And when we start studying that and how it just opens up our whole, it changes our focus and makes so that we're not just focused inward. It even happened to Job. When Job was going through his hard times, and in the end, God said, have you done this? Do you understand that? Do you know where the snow is formed? Do you know where the hail comes from? Do you know where how water comes down from the all of these things? And at the end, Job just kind of clapped his hand over his mouth and said, he didn't even have anything to say anymore. But he glorified God. And that's what we want to do today. We are image bearers, as our brother talked about. We're image bearers of God himself. So while studying for this sermon here, I came across the story of a man who became a believer as a young man with the desire to follow the Lord with all his heart. God blessed him with a wonderful wife and many children. God also blessed him with an excellent job that allowed him to buy a beautiful house and acquire a large amount of assets. He continued to grow in his relationship with the Lord and lead his family in the ways of God. However, he never learned one vital ingredient, one vital quality, and that was contentment. Let me insert here. If we're not happy with what we have now, we will never be happy with what we want. I've probably said this numerous times. I have said this numerous times to people who found themselves in the same situation that I did with my first wife passing on. And somebody gave me this wisdom. He said, John, you can't be happy married if you're not happy unmarried. So I thought about that a lot. Just a lot of things don't bring us happiness. If the things that we, as it says here, if we're happy with what we have, if we're not happy with what we have, we will never be happy with what we want. The next chapter of this man that I'm talking about, his life is a sad chapter. In order to make more money, he began to spend more and more time away from home and away from his family. Because of this, his wife was left with the sole responsibility of addressing the spiritual needs of their children's lives. When they were uncooperative, he became impatient and harsh in his discipline. I'm too busy to take care of this problem. To make more money, he went into a business partnership with a person he trusted. When his partner mismanaged the company, this man tried to save the company by borrowing money against his house. Instead of saving his house, he lost it all. The end result was he had no house, no assets, no job. But an even bigger loss was what happened in the lives of his children. Because of their absentee father, they began to look for leadership and acceptance in other places. And they're now, and this is a real story, they're now experiencing the consequences of unwise marriages and associations with the world. The father did not take his responsibility. The father was not content with where he didn't have contentment. So when this man was asked what he would do differently if he had another chance, he said, I would stay home with my family more, be patient with my children, and be a better manager of my resources. Remember, if we're not happy with what we have, we will never be happy with what we want. Paul wrote to Timothy, he said, godliness with contentment is great gain. And as I thought about that whole concept, am I content? Am I really satisfied with where I am today? And I'm not talking about the kind of contentment that sets me on a chair and just has me do nothing. But I'm talking about the kind of contentment that I'm satisfied with the place that God has for me right now. And I'm not just necessarily talking to fathers. I'm talking to mothers. I'm talking to daughters and sons. And all of us need to come to a place of contentment. Paul also wrote to the Philippians. He said, my God shall supply all of your needs according to his riches in glory. So what are God's riches in glory? Think about it. There's so many things that God has. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, the wealth of every mine. But more than that, he has made so that we can have relationship with him. I actually had a sermon prepared that was entitled Sharing in the Victory. And I didn't think about it until my wife reminded me that it's Father's Day today. So I did some switching. But I might bring some of those sharing in victory thoughts. Because we truly are the reason we can have hope is because we can share in the victory of Jesus Christ. I'm going to read just a little bit of the text that I was going to focus on more when it comes to sharing in victory. It says here in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 51, it says, behold, I tell you a mystery. Well, first of all, he says in verse 50, he says, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption. This mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. We can share in the victory that was won by Jesus Christ on the cross. We can share in the victory that defeats death. It also gives us power over sin, and it allows us to have hope of eternal life. That is cause for gratefulness. That's cause for contentment. Show me a grateful father, and I will show you a contented father. Contentment and gratefulness are inseparable. When you become grateful, when you are grateful, have the grateful attitude, then there's a certain contentment that comes along with that. Do your children, dads, know you as a grateful, contented father or as an ungrateful, discontented father that they would rather not have around? I'm afraid that some of the years of fathering, I was not always the grateful, contented father that I should have been. Most of us give too much attention to temporal things and too little attention to the things that will last for eternity. Solomon, for instance, he built magnificent structures for himself, and he built structures for the Lord. Kings and queens came to admire their beauty and their splendor. Today, those same structures that Solomon built are part of the rubble of the Jerusalem landscape. Solomon wrote in the book of Ecclesiastes, he says like this, "What profit hath a man in of all his labor which he taketh under the sun? The eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear filled with hearing. I have seen all the works that are done under the sun, and behold, all is vanity and vexation of spirit. I made me great works. I builded me houses. I planted me vineyards. I made me gardens and orchards, and I planted trees in them of all kinds of fruits. I made me pools of water. And whatsoever mine eyes desired, I kept not from them. Then I looked on all the works that my hands had wrought, and on all the labor that I had labored to do, and behold, all was vanity and vexation of spirit. And there is no profit under the sun." That was Solomon. And sometimes I find myself working to have the same kinds of things that I think will satisfy me. There's a certain satisfaction in a good day's work, but it doesn't have to be some great edifice that, like Solomon did. It doesn't, but there's much more to life than just the things that we see that we can leave when we're gone, and people can say, "Oh, John built that," or "John did this," or whoever you might be. I want to focus on what's eternal. Wise fathers focus on that which they know cannot be taken away from them. So think about, what are some things that cannot be taken away? When I think about my own father, for instance, he was known to be a hard-working man in the community. He wasn't the richest man by any stretch of the imagination. He cared about us as his children. He cared about the things that about my mom, who's actually still living. We were able to be with her the last few months, and she keeps saying, "John, how long are you going to stay over there?" And so I try to call her every Sunday for sure. And if I forget, she'll say, "John, you forgot to call me last Sunday." But it's special to know, to think back. And I thought maybe today, if we have a little bit of time, we can just give a time for you to say some of the things that your own fathers, that you appreciate about your own fathers. Somehow, my dad had time, especially in the wintertime, just to sit and read books. Now, every morning, we got up, we milked the cows, we came in, we had breakfast, and we had devotional times. I think we hardly ever missed that. But then through the day, there were times when there was not that much pressing outside, and he would sit and read. And we greatly profited from that. The happiest men and women in the world are those who have the confidence that what they hold most precious and dear in life can never be taken away. So I want you to think about that. What are the things that you hold most precious and dear in life? Can those things be taken away? And if they can, you have the potential of becoming very discouraged when they're taken away. Now, I have the hope and the joy and the satisfaction of looking forward to seeing my little grandson that passed on at 21 weeks. I have that hope. I have the hope of seeing my first wife someday again. I have the hope of seeing my father. So those are things, relationships cannot be taken away. Not good relationships. Most of all, the relationship that you have with God, what did God say? He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I will be with you in wherever you go. So those are things that cannot be taken away. How much time do I spend on my relationship with the Lord? Do I spend enough time there? Because when I do that, then I'm spending time with something that is forever, something that cannot be taken away, something that gives me satisfaction for the long term. I have written here, contentment is a result, not a cause. Gratefulness is what I call the cause of contentment. Covetousness is a cause, not a result. So covetousness, it causes me to get into the trap of the rich man who I would like to read about a little bit later. 1 Timothy 6:10 says, for the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. What we focus on determines whether we will be content or discontent. Colossians chapter 3, I love Colossians 3. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth at the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above and not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. There again, when we have our focus on who Jesus is, and our whole life is focused on not hurting the witness of Jesus in this world, then we are looking at something that's eternal, that cannot be taken away. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth, because the things on the earth can be taken away. What is going to have value in 100 years? Being a giver rather than a taker conquers covetousness. If you're a giver and not just a taker, then you can conquer covetousness. Luke 12, verse 13, starting in verse 13, you can turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 12, verse, and we're going to read the text for the day. If you want to rise for the reading of the word, then we can look at it here. Luke 12, 13, one of the multitudes said to him, Teacher, bid my brother divide the inheritance with me. But he said to him, Man, who made me a judge or divider over you? So Jesus was there, and a man came up to him and said, he said, why didn't you get my brother to divide the inheritance with me? Somehow he thought Jesus could do miracles, so he thought maybe Jesus could do the miracle of making his brother divide the inheritance. Well, that's kind of a tough thing sometimes to do, to get Jesus to do those things. But Jesus said to him, he said, who made me a judge or divider over you? And then he said to the rest of the multitude, take heed, beware of all covetousness, for a man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. And he told him a parable, saying, the land of a rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought to himself, what shall I do? For I have nowhere to store my crops. And he said, I will do this. I will pull down my barns, build larger ones. There I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, Fool, this night your soul is required of you, and the things you have prepared, whose will they be? So is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. And I want you to think about that. You can lay up treasure for yourself, or you can be rich toward God. Just think about that. Verse 22, and he said to his disciples, therefore, because of this, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you shall eat, nor about your body, what you shall put on. For life is more than food, and the body more than clothing. Consider the ravens. They neither sow nor reap. They have neither storehouse nor barn, and yet God feeds them. Of how much more value are you than the birds? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a cubit to his span of life? If then you are not able to do as small a thing as that, why are you anxious about the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass which is alive in the field today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O men of little faith? Do not seek what you are to eat, what you are to drink, nor be of an anxious mind. For all the nations of the world seek those things, and your Father knows that you need them. Instead, seek his kingdom, and these things shall be yours as well. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions, give alms, provide yourselves with purses that do not grow old, with a treasure in the heavens that does not fail, where no thief approaches and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. As I said before, becoming givers and not takers builds up, it works against discontent. It works against covetousness. Verse 34, again, I'll read it. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Let your loins be girded and your lamps burning, and be like men who are waiting for their master to come home from the marriage feast, so that they may open to him at once when he comes and knocks. Blessed are those servants whom the master finds awake when he comes. Truly, I say to you, he will gird himself and have them sit at table, and he will come and serve them. You may be seated. What is my focus as a father? Is it to increase the stuff I have and build barns and put storehouse into it and say, look, you've got enough for many, many years. Just sit down and relax. Or is it to become rich, to give and to give and to give and become rich toward God? As I said, Luke 20, verse 12, 21 is one I'd like to, again, just have you think about. So is he that layeth up treasure for himself is not rich toward God. Our old nature naturally looks out for itself. It wants to be rich toward ourselves instead of becoming rich toward God. That's just the way we are. We want to make sure me is taken care of. So I would like to go to the 101st Psalm and just take from there some thoughts about how to be rich toward God. Psalm 101. It's one of those little psalms that sometimes we forget, but one of the ways to be rich toward God, and in fact, I'd even thought of trying to have a sermon today about singing. So I did a lot of searching on songs and singing, and when the first time songs were brought into, because of our weekend last weekend, I enjoyed that singing focus, but I didn't go that route either with the sermon. But Psalm 101 says, I will sing of mercy and justice. To you, O Lord, I will sing praises. So one of the ways that we can be rich toward God is to focus on singing about God and about the things he's done. I will sing of mercy and justice. To you, O Lord, I will sing praises. How can we be rich toward God? By singing praises. By singing of God's mercy, by singing of God's justice, by singing of God's nature. But we'll go home sometimes and Karen will say, those songs, they just have such great theology in them. And when you stop and think about the songs we sing, we can learn a lot just by singing and reading those solid thoughts. And it's not like I'm doing it by myself in a room by myself, but we're all doing it together. And there's something powerful about that, of singing together, that I don't know what it does, but it's powerful. And I love singing God's praises, mercy, justice, and praise. Looking at verse 2 then, it says, I will behave wisely in a perfect way. Oh, when will you come to me? I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. That means the word perfect there has to do with completeness, with an undivided attention. I will behave wisely in a perfect way with undivided attention. Walk within our houses with perfect hearts, singly focused hearts. It doesn't take long before the people that are around you will know what your main focus is. And it's already been kind of hard on me when somebody's told me what my main focuses are, because they weren't what I really thought I should focus on. But it's good when people are willing to say that, to tell you. So what do you think people would say about yourself? About what your main focus is? People around you can tell. And if they're honest, they'll tell you what your main focuses are. They will tell you if your main focus is to get ahead financially or to... Yeah, there's a lot of different things that you can focus on. Behave wisely. Walk within our houses with perfect hearts, a singly focused heart. What are you focusing on? And then verse 3 says, I will set nothing wicked before my eyes. I hate the work of those who fall away. It shall not cling to me. Well, when I look at this thing right here, I mean, most of us have this in our pockets. Are we looking at this, and are we spending a lot of time with this, and it's not actually, it's actually, there's wicked stuff that you can look at. It says here, I will set nothing wicked before my eyes. I hate the work of those who fall away. It shall not cling to me. There are people that you can find that have written things on these phones that we can read, and they're backsliders. They're falling away. They're pushing concepts and ideas that are contrary to really having a single focus. It says here, set nothing wicked before us. The work of backsliders, those who twist everything to become something unclean. There are people who can twist everything to become unclean. Those who glorify wickedness, those who practice slandering their neighbors, those who are haughty, proud, and rebellious. It's amazing what people put, they put on these they are on social media, and how mean people can be to each other on social media because, well, they're not face to face. They would never say that, those things face to face, but they'll say it in print. So David says, I will set nothing wicked before my eyes. I hate the work of those who fall away, backsliders. It shall not cling to me. Verse 4, a perverse heart shall depart from me. I will not know wickedness. Our focus must be on faithfulness and faithful people instead of on lying and deceitful people. And verse 5 says, whoever secretly slanders his neighbor, him I will destroy. The one who has a haughty look and a proud heart, him I will not endure. So we must get rid of everything wicked out of our presence for the sake of the city's... verse 5. So the one who has a haughty look and a proud heart, him I will not endure. So the whole idea is, how can we bring into our house, whether it's a television, whether it's screen time? I mean, every week, my phone tells me how much screen time I've had, and I feel kind of frustrated a little bit because sometimes that screen time includes Bible reading time. So I think, okay, that's good. At least a lot of that screen time was Bible reading time. But it's amazing how much screen time you get per day sometimes. I don't know what your phone tells you, and maybe it doesn't tell you, but think about it. What did you spend that time on? Is it good things? Is it bad things? Is it frivolous things? Is it useless things? Is it what kind of things are they? Our focus must be on faithlessness, faithfulness, and faithful people. We must get rid of everything wicked out of our presence for the sake of our own lives so that we can be content. Godliness with contentment is great gain. What shall we focus on then? Verse 6. My eyes shall be on the faithful of the land, that they may dwell with me. He who walks in a perfect way, he shall serve me. He who works deceit shall not dwell within my house. He who tells lies shall not continue in my presence. Early I will destroy all the wicked of the land, that I may cut off all the evildoers from the city of the Lord. We have in our grasp, in our the choices we make, we can make this world a better place or we can make it a worse place. Just by our gratefulness, which leads to contentment, which leads to just satisfying living. So I said I'd give you some time, and I don't want to take it. Actually, I'll let Anthony do that. It's time for me to close here. And if you can just, if you want to share something about fathers that you appreciate about your fathers, you can do that afterwards. So with this, remember that it is important to not lay up treasures for yourself, but it is important to lay up, to be rich toward God, whatever that might be. And we've read a lot today that will help us in that direction if we focus on those things.